You are not forgotten today. I'm not forgotten today. He's inscribed us on the palms of his hands that he forget us not. They forgot him many times in their journeys, but he never forgot them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk about recovering from a wounded spirit today. If there's just one scripture I'm going to read, and then we're going to Psalm 77. Proverbs 18 and 14 said, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Can you say amen? It's amazing to me all the things that Paul suffered in the new covenant. But those wounds, even inflicted on his body and on his emotions, he was wounded within and without, but it never got through to his spirit. Can you say, man, if it ever gets through to your spirit, then you don't have that you need to get back up and go on. Amen. And sometimes there are people wounded all the way to their spirit man. It's not that you don't have faith. It's that you are so wounded that you're not using your faith anymore. Timothy was absolutely wounded to the point of having a wounded spirit. And Paul wrote him about it. And he said, you got faith. Even though you're wounded that deeply, you don't feel like praying. You don't believe that God is going to come through for you. You've given up on God, given up on your circumstance, sometimes given up on yourself. And he wrote Timothy the letter, said there was faith in your grandmother. There was faith in your mother. It doesn't mean you get it by osmosis. It doesn't mean that you get faith just because you're born into a family of faith. But these women of faith taught him that would bring forth faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you say amen? And the faith was in him to get him out of that place he was in. But he wasn't using that faith. So Paul wrote him, said, "There's faith. I know you have faith." You know, the devil wants to tell you when you're wounded that deeply that you don't have any faith. Your faith is all gone, and he's a liar, and he's the father of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen very carefully. So Paul told him, he said, "You've got faith. How can a man this discouraged, this defeated, have faith?" Timothy didn't feel like preaching anymore. He was getting ready to lay down his anointing and appointing to the gospel ministry. By the way, there's 1,700 pastors will leave the ministry every 30 days in America. That's a staggering statistic, but it's true. I'm affiliated with a group, and the president of the group I meet with in our prayer breakfast every Tuesday. So these statistics are verified statistics. About 20,000 preachers in America will leave the ministry per year. I'm going to tell you, discouragement is the devil's greatest tool. And if it gets down into your spirit, if it sinks that deep, it hits my emotions. Make no mistake about it. Amen. Jeremiah saw his nation not receiving the word of God, going into captivity. And he said, "My tears caused my bed to swim." Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem, and he wept and cried over them and with a broken heart for them. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stone the prophets and kill them that are sent to you, how many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me." Amen. He wept because he knew what was coming. He knew the heartache and heartbreak and what would happen when so many of them would be killed and they would live in captivity and be scattered then to the nations of the world. But God remembered them like he promised. They forgot him, but he remembered them. And in 1948, a nation, after almost 2,000 years, amen, emerged again. Praise God. God is a faithful God, even though we are unfaithful. And sometimes our own folly brings the troubles into our life. But God is faithful. And if we return to him, he made a promise, "I will return to you." Can you say, man, isn't that incredible today? If I was a backslider, I'd want a front slide. Praise God, because God offers restoration and forgiveness. Hallelujah. But you can get wounded that deeply. And Paul said, "I know there's faith in you. Because there was faith in your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and in your mother. I know there's faith in you, so stir up the gift. That means to fan into flame in the Greek. It's one word, this word for stir up. It means to fan into flame a fire that threatens to go out because of neglect. You quit reading your Bible. You quit praying. You quit praising and worshiping Him. You quit affiliating with other Christians that can encourage you and exhort you. And that flame begins to die down and it's threatened to go out. But He said, stir up the gift. With what? With the there's faith in you. It tells me something about the nature of faith that you don't have to feel on top of the world to use your faith. You don't have to. You can get up on Monday morning and feel like you've been jerked through a knothole backwards. And God will still hear your prayer. Can you say amen? Why? If you'll pray. If you'll pray. If you're not too broken to pray, God is still listening. Prayer is not based on how you feel. Amen. But whether or not you know that you know that you know that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. His eyes, the Bible said, are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. He's listening for your prayer. You say, but I don't feel anything. This is not about what you feel. This is about what He promised. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God is so good to us. I find in the Psalms people like us. I find in the New Testament people like us. Let me tell you what Paul said. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure. Everybody has a breaking point emotionally. Everybody. Without exception. You can see Jesus like He saw Him. You can be lifted up to third heaven. But you've got an emotional limit. Can you say amen? And He said we were pressed beyond measure. And despaired of life itself. No Christian is supposed to be in that condition. But Paul got there. If you live long enough, you'll find yourself there someday. Can you say amen? The important thing is knowing what to do if you find yourself in that valley. Paul found himself in that valley, but he learned a lesson in that valley. He said that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God. Can you say amen? That's a lesson you got to learn. If you're just depending on your faith and not on the faithfulness of your God, what happens when your faith shakes or your faith even fails? And if you're so presumptuous to think it won't ever happen to you, amen, you're the next one that's going to find yourself in that deep, dark valley. I want you to know I've been in that valley many times, but God is faithful. God has never failed. Can you say amen? Faith in my faith will put me in a precarious position. But faith in His faithfulness will put me in a place of security and safety. Can you say amen? We serve a mighty and faithful God. And He doesn't run from you when your faith wavers. He runs very near to you. And Paul said, stir up. Fan into flame, amen, this gift that's within you that threatens to be laid dormant and made impotent because you're not using the faith that you have, amen. By faith, just proclaim that God is with you and God is going to deliver you, praise God. By faith, not by feeling. God is faithful. Timothy, there's a gift in you. By the laying on of hands, it was granted to you. It will go out unless you, by faith, proclaim, God is with me, and He's more than enough. Can you say amen? His grace is sufficient. Wow. In the Old Testament, I find not only Psalms of David, but Psalms that, to me, if there was a Peter in the Old Testament who wavered and yet recovered and God used him, it's Asaph. Say it with me, Asaph. This is a psalm of Asaph. By the way, there's another psalm of Asaph. This is 77, but Psalm 73 says these words. My feet were almost slip. I was almost fallen when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. He said they're not in trouble like other people. How many know that if you've got a court-appointed lawyer, you better pray. Rich man can get the best lawyer. Of course, I would advise you to pray anyway, but amen. You better really pray if it's someone with a caseload that thick. Amen. Because the justice is blind, but justice can be can be swayed by how good a defense your lawyer puts on. And the rich are going to stand better in a courtroom than the poor are. And he said, they're not in trouble like the rest of us. And therefore, they're heady and they're high-minded. It seemed like they're being blessed. But he said, till I went into the temple, and then I considered their end. And he repented and said, I must have been like a beast before you to even think that way. Amen. He changed his mind because he saw the destination of the wicked. Amen. And the destination of the righteous. And he said, I'd rather be over here with the righteous in any condition than to be over there with them. Hallelujah. And he got his footing back. That's what I love about Asaph. He went through these doubts and fears and dangerous places in his life spiritually, but he got his footing back. So here we are again, and this is about as deep as you could get. I wish someone would say how deep. Deeper than a snake in a wagon rut. That's pretty deep. That's where Asaph was. He said, I cried unto the Lord, Psalm 77 and 1, with my voice, even to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Now, I want you to know, he said, God listened to me when I cried. But I want you to hear the condition he was in when he cried and how he began to move into a place where God could help him. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. What's next? My spirit, it's getting to it. Now, come on, it's going deeper than his emotions. I complained, and what happened? My spirit was overwhelmed. I'm going to tell you something. You're inviting the enemy to just put on the pressure when we start complaining. And it's our nature to complain when things don't go our way. God wants you to, you know what David said? He had learned a great key to not letting it touch his spirit. You know what he said? I will bless the Lord when things are great and going well. I will bless the Lord when I'm on the mountaintop. No, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be what? Continually on my lips. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am determined to praise God in the good times and in the bad times. You say, Brother Venable, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and praise God if I don't feel like it. Well, why don't you just quit being a hypocrite and praise God because he deserves it, whether you feel like it or not? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You talk about hypocritical, telling people about the greatness of this God and then holding back his praise because we had a bad week. I had a bad week last week. It was awful. It was terrible. It was bad. Sometimes bad is bad. I mean, we got a new word for bad now. Like, that's a bad motorcycle. That's a bad car. Sometimes bad is bad. Can you say amen? And it was bad. Hallelujah. And it was through my family, not my Christian family, but my immediate family. And you can't run from your family. Therefore, if there's trouble, you can't run from your trouble. And it was heartbreaking. Brother Bimble, what was it? It's too bad. I don't want to go into detail, but it was about as bad can get. And I was the snake in the wagon rut. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. I'm not going to lay down my gift. I'm not going to let the fire go out. That's what the devil wants. This is not, listen, we're so focused on what's causing the problem. We just see the flesh and blood that it's coming through. But your enemies shall be they of your own household. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you, behind all of that, there's an entity that sees that fire within us, that wants to seize that fire from us. He wants us to let it go out, to neglect the praise, neglect the prayer, neglect the word of God. Amen. Go out, and just get in a corner somewhere and feel sorry for ourselves. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. God is moving. And my son came to me, and he's got issues right now. It's part of my heartache is seeing him. Oh, but he came to me this week, And he said, Dad, I was watching. And he's got a lot of issues spiritually. Don't think he's some kind of spiritual man. But he said, Dad, I was watching a movie by myself, 12:30 in the morning, a.m. I was watching a movie. And I've never had anything like this happen to me. He said, but I felt prompted to turn the movie off and get down on my knees and pray for you. He said, I don't even know if God will hear me because there's so many things I need to get settled. But I prayed for you. He said, you're the one with the hotline to heaven. But he said, I felt a need to pray for you. And then he wept and he hugged me. And I know God is doing something in his heart. And I know God is doing something in his life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because this is different. God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. And he's moving in the midst of the chaos and the trouble. Amen. Israel murmured. And what happened? Snakes came by the tens of thousands and bit them. And without a miracle of healing, amen, they would have died in the wilderness and been killed when they complained. My flesh has a tendency to want sympathy. I hit my thumb and tear off my thumbnail, close my door in the close my door in my hand, or close my hand in the door. Old thumbs start spurting blood. First thing I want to do is get me some sympathy before a Band-Aid. Hey, amen. I want sympathy. I run to Pamela and say, look. And she says, oh, my Lord. I say, oh, yeah, I'm hurt bad, baby. I'm hurt real bad, honey. Hallelujah. Then we'll go get the Band-Aid, the peroxide. But I'm already feeling better because Pamela said, oh, my goodness. When I hurt, I want sympathy. But what I need when I'm spiritually hurt is victory. Can you say, man? I need compassion and love and support. But what I really need, Brother Taylor, is victory. I don't want to be a victim. I want to be a victor in Jesus Christ. And you can't be a victor unless you learn what to do when you find yourself in a valley. Because everybody finds themselves in a valley. I believe God began this service talking to us about remembering us. No matter what we're facing or where we seem to be. There's faith in us. Hallelujah. There's gifts of God within us. There's a fire within us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help us to fan it into flame. Stir up. Stir up. Stir up the gift that is within you by the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Sound mind. Listen carefully. I remember God was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. This is deeper than you feeling blue. This is deeper than emotion. This is when you're spiritually already at the point of giving up and giving in. He said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I can't sleep, he said. I'm so troubled. I cannot speak. The actual Hebrew and the scholars tell us that he was literally saying, I can't pray. See, there's when it touches your spirit, prayer seems so useless. It just seems like you don't even have the energy to pray because you don't feel like you've got the faith to believe. And then he says, Salah, I want you to think about this. Amen. In verse 2, and then he says, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine heart, my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord, now see here, he's doubting that God is ever going to remember his covenant and his promises to him. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his see, now this is speaking from a wounded spirit. This is how a wounded spirit talks. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? The promises are all over the place, but a wounded spirit is not standing on those promises anymore. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. Now he's getting ready to say something to himself and make a proclamation that is going to bring him out of that deep, dark valley. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work, and I will even talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. So who is so great a God as our God? Thou, you feel him coming up? Do you feel faith rising up? Thou art the God that doest wonders and hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. That's the covenant people. The waters saw thee, O God. And it goes on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. A wounded spirit, number one, cannot find comfort in God. My soul refused to be comforted in verse 2. A wounded spirit, number two, is filled with discouragement. My spirit was overwhelmed in verse 3. Number 3, both our prayers and profession of faith are lost. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. One translation said, I'm so worried, upset, I cannot even pray. A wounded spirit questions God's love and faithfulness in verse 5 through 9. Amen. And we've all been there. And if you're not there, one day you may find yourself there. And if you do, don't you write God off and don't you write yourself off. You pray and call upon him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Here's the steps Asaph took to defeat doubt. Number one, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Verse 11 says, and I will remember the works of the Lord. And I will remember thy wonders of old. The reason that a generation became doubting and defeated was because they forgot the faithfulness and the love of God. Psalm 78, 40 and 42. Listen carefully. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They, in verse 42, remembered not his hand. Everybody say his power and love. That's what his hand is representative of. In covenant language to the children of Israel. His power and his love. Praise God. They forgot the power and love of God, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, up out of the hand of the greatest, most powerful nation in the world. God had delivered them, and they forgot the power and love that brought them out, and they turned back. Can you say amen? Don't forget the day that God saved you. Don't forget the day that he delivered you. Don't forget the day that the greatest wonder and miracle of the universe occurred in your life when you passed from darkness to light, from death to life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When you were translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. That God is still on the throne. That God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. That God has inscribed you on the palm of his hand that he forgets you not. Hallelujah. They forgot his power. They forgot his love, and they turned back. Amen. In the midst of a difficult circumstance, we need to experience, and when we experience the dark cloud of doubt, it's easy to forget that God is faithful. No matter how things look, we must remember God's past miracles and deliverances. The result of rehearsing the victories of the past will be faith for the present, and faith for the president. Pray for the president. Amen. But have faith for the present and hope for the future. Praise God. I said hope for the future. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 said, know therefore, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That means this covenant-keeping God is keeping covenant all the way down to our day and to you and to me. You say, brother, remember that was to the Jew. You hang on just a minute. The Bible said in the New Testament, they that are of the household of faith, whether you're Jew or Greek, bond or free, they that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith, and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. Every blessing of Abraham was a covenant blessing because Abraham came into a holy covenant with God. And the people of God became known as a covenant people. Can you say, man? If God ever did it, he will do it again. If he did it for anyone, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. He's no respecter of persons. We must remember the parting of the Red Sea is part of our heritage now. The destruction of Pharaoh's army, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, the meal barrel that never went empty, the crucible oil that never ran out. I need that for my van. Can you say amen? The ravens that fed the prophet, the giant fell by a shepherd boy. The deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because of the fourth man in the fire. Daniel in the lion's den, the battle of Jericho. Gideon's 300, the axe head that swam. The turning of water to wine. The feeding of the multitude with a few fishes and bread. The lame man who leapt, the blind man who saw, the lepers who were cleansed, and the demons who were cast out, and the dead who were raised. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! We will remember the works of his hands. And a wounded spirit is beginning to rise up. Hallelujah! We need to, number two, direct our thoughts to the good things of God. He said in verse 12, I'll meditate also of all of thy work. Not the works of the enemy, but of thy work. Can you say amen? Meditation is a form of private devotion or spiritual exercise consisting in deep, continued reflection on some religious theme. Well, I go beyond a religious theme. I reflect on a person. Can you say amen? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Simply stated, meditation is keeping our focus of our thoughts upon that truth about God that overrules the tendency to worry and fear and feel sorry for ourselves. It will disarm distractions. Psalm 63:5 says, my soul shall be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 63:6 said, when I meditate, this is the next verse, when I remember thee on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. God said, when you lay down, you got a choice. You can think about your troubles and trials and stay awake all night and worry, or you can think about my goodness and faithfulness and let hope and faith arise in your heart and go to sleep in the full assurance that God somehow, some way, is going to bring you through this valley and is going to give you victory. Can you say amen? One translation said, as I lie in bed, I remember you. All night long, I think of you because you have always been my help. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul sums it up in Hebrews 11:32-34. He said, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Out of weakness were made strong. God is faithful. We must remember his works. Can you say, man, my son praying for me? Wow. I'm going to say it backwards. Wow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It even shocked him that anything would interrupt his movie. Especially God telling him to pray for his daddy. When he's got so many issues in his own life, he said, I don't know if God heard me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I heard that God had moved on somebody to pray for me. And my son praying for me, Does he qualify? Does he not? Honey, when he told me he turned off a movie to pray for daddy instead of daddy praying for him, amen, I said, something's turning here. The tables are being turned. Can you say, man, God is doing something. He's got to be doing something. Hallelujah. It's not over. Praise God. Praise God. We all need a quiet time with the Lord. This place of devotion and trust, God can see his own will in our thoughts and he can comfort us. Psalm 94:19 said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. One translation said, whenever I'm anxious and worried, you comfort me and make me glad. I like that. When we surrender in full trust and consecration to God, he will reveal his plans and purposes. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You're never going to find God's will and purpose while worrying about all the junk around us. But when we're able to commit that and give it all to God, we begin to hear him. We begin to see his hand in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. The Amplified said, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. I do not plan to fail. I haven't got a plan for failure. The only plan I have is to serve God with everything that I am and everything that I have for the every day that I live, as long as I live. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 104:34 said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Milton in Paradise Lost wrote, and I quote, the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell or a hell of heaven. In the multitude, the Bible said, of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somebody else said, a man, my brother-in-law, he's an engineer getting ready to retire from the railroad. He would like this. Every man has a train of thought which he rides. The dignity and nobility of his life, as well as his happiness, depends upon the direction the train is going, the baggage it carries, and the scenery through which it travels. Can you say amen? We need to live that life that's separate from this polluted, perverted world, where our focus is on the Lord. We're on our way to heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8 said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That is biblical, truly spiritual meditation. It's not this Eastern stuff that doesn't focus on the true God. And it's not mind over matter. It's mind set upon the Lord. You know what the Bible said in the book of Isaiah? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 We need to speak and proclaim, number three, the works of God constantly. Said in verse 12, I'll meditate also of all thy work, and I'll talk of all thy doings. I will talk of what? What is the big object of your conversation? I will talk of all his doings. I will talk of all his doings. God says for us to speak up and declare and publish his mighty deeds and his loving kindness. Psalm 26:7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And tell of all thy wondrous works. You know what your flesh wants to do in mind when troubles come? Let's talk about it. And the more you talk about it, you know what this guy said when I complained? My spirit, it got beyond my emotions. It got down where it can do terrible damage unless I do something quickly. My spirit was overwhelmed. David talked to himself about that. Soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Have you ever looked in the mirror to see what you look like while you're telling people what God can do? Can you say, man? You got to have something in your life that's believable. One preacher put it this way, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles than my congregation on Sunday morning. Another one put it another way, if you're happy, notify your face. Can you say, man? Solomon in Proverbs in the Bible said, the eyes of him who are joyful rejoices the heart of others. Can you say, man? That's why you felt a lift while those children with no mama and no daddy in Uganda, amen, were so thrilled with the hope that they have now in Christ. And they are singing from the heart with joy. I'm not forgotten. He knows my name. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good today?
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing a song, one translator said, of thanksgiving and telling of all your miracles. Telling of all your miracles. Praise God. Psalm 71 in verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thine righteousness and thy salvation all day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Psalm 71, 16 says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of the righteousness, even of thine only. And Psalm 71, 17 says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Can you say, man, there's something about talking about God's wonderful works that brings you up out of those depths of despair and rejoices the heart of others. Amen. You know what David said? Thou hast lifted me from the miry clay, that place I couldn't get myself out of. Thou hast set my feet upon a rock. And thou hast put a song in my heart. A song of praise. And he said the humble, not the humble in the positive sense of bowing and being meek before the Lord, but humble in the negative sense in the Hebrew. The humble, which meant crushed by life. Crushed by life. They'll hear it. They'll hear about it. Hear what? That David was so crushed as well. That David couldn't extract himself, but God lifted him out. And God established him. And God gave him a song of victory. Can you say amen? And they'll be glad. Why? Because if God can do that for David, God can do that for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God will do that for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody here want to quit talking about the trouble and start talking about the greatness and goodness and graciousness of our God? I've never eaten possum. I don't know if it's good or not. I've eaten game. I've eaten squirrel. I haven't eaten rattlesnake yet. Don't really want to. They're greasy. Okay. There's a man worked for the FDA. He used to come where I worked. I was bivocational for about 12 years. And full-time for about 20-something, bivocational for 12. And now I don't know what I am. Seems like I'm busier than ever. I'm supposed to be retired, but I got to get refired, on the inside. But anyway, we were talking about exotic foods, and this man from Alabama, he was FDA inspector, inspecting all the time, and he had to oversee all the operation. I worked in a processing plant for milk and juice and tea and water and ice cream. Hallelujah. Amen. And I remember we were talking about exotic foods. What was the most exotic food? One fellow had eaten octopus. Somebody had eaten squid. Amen. And this guy, he said, well, I'm from Alabama. He said, I remember growing up having mule lips and rice. I think it took the cake. Can you say amen? Amen. There was a fella came from India to the U.S. years and years ago. And he didn't know anything about food here in the United States. And the pastor said, we didn't know you were coming. We're just going to have kind of a quick lunch, or we would have, you know, we're not going to have anything special. We're just going to have hot dogs. He thought, he'd never heard of hot dogs like we were having. This was years ago. He said, you know, I've eaten a lot of things, and I want to be gracious, but I've never eaten dog. Hot or not. What are you having for dinner? Hot dog. Different cultures you may not understand. Can you say amen? But God is so good. God is so good. They tell me if you don't cook possum right, it gets tough and greasy. Put sweet potatoes around. Man, let's go get us something. No, let's listen. And said, one guy put it this way. He said, the more you chew it, the bigger it got. Instead of getting moistened and tenderized so you could swallow it, it seemed to get bigger the more you chew it. Sinewy. Doesn't want to go down. And I'm going to tell you something about talking about our problems. The more we talk, the bigger it gets. We're magnifying it and we're focusing on it. But when we start talking differently, amen, and talking about the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, the wonders of God, the miracles of God, the might of God, the wisdom of God, hallelujah. Sometimes when I'm praying for you, I just stop and say, you're the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Hallelujah, the wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. Because some needs are so great, we need to magnify God above all of the circumstances. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh! And I've been in those valleys so much. I got to tell you one more thing. One more thing. We close today. I'll read it to you sometime again. But a great army comes up against Israel. They're always overwhelmed and outnumbered in who's against them. But God is for them. So this army chooses the high ground for the place of battle. And they engage Israel's army in battle. And they take a terrible beating, this alien army. God is with Israel supernaturally to give them the victory. It's always a supernatural victory when God is involved. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so they went back scratching their head and saying, their God was with them. They recognized the supernatural. They said, they're not as good as we are, as big as we are. There's more of us and they beat us. Their God is supernaturally fighting for them and with them. And they're scratching their head for a strategy. And they say, their God must be the God of the mountains. He's the God of the high places. Let us draw them into the plain. Let us fight them in a valley. We can easily defeat them because their mountain God's way up there and they're way down here. See, when you're in a valley, the devil wants you to think that you can't have victory down in that valley. I'm going to tell you something. He's not just the God of the mountains. He is the God of the valleys. And to them that hath no might, and that's how you feel and maybe how you are in yourself in the valley, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. So they said, we got it. These wise guys said, we got it. Their God will only bless them on the mountaintops. When they're up there shouting victory, hollering hallelujah, we can't defeat them, but you get them in a valley and we got them. Their God's up there. They're way down here. They drew them out into the plain and the same thing happened, only worse. And then they went back and they said, we can't defeat them on the mountain. We can't defeat them in the valley. Their God is the God of the mountains and their God is the God of the valleys. Wow! Hallelujah! Wow! What a mighty God we serve. One of these days, God's people are going to praise him anyhow. One of these days, God's people are going to talk of his wondrous works. Even though the circumstances say different, God is going to show us his glory. God is going to show us his wonders. God is going to show us his deliverance. God is going to show us his healing. God is going to give us his help. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. I want to rejoice with these same kids in closing today. Because if these kids, AIDS orphans, mom and daddy's dead, believe that this God lives and should be praised like this, how much more should we in America? In whatever circumstance you're in today, I challenge you this week to talk of all his wondrous works. Hallelujah, to pray again. Just stir up the gift that's in you by the laying on of hands. We serve a faithful God. And in your valley, he's just as able to deliver you as if you were standing on that mountaintop. Call upon him again. Pray again. Trust him again. Praise him again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where are God's people? They're in his house dancing. Where are God's people? They're in his house singing. Where are God's people? They're in his house praising. That's where we ought to be today. No matter what's happening, we should be in God's house praising, singing, and dancing because he's still God. Can you say amen? And we're going to see his wonders and see his miracles. Let's give him praise with these precious kids today. In the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moving in Uganda. Saving in Uganda. Healing in Uganda.
Jimbalewo. Dame Zambapa.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, the Bible said, praise him in the dance. Hallelujah. David danced before the Lord. He will set your feet a dancing, give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many are fanning into flame something? Are you stirring yourself this morning? Will you stir up the gift that is in you today? There's a mighty one dwelling within you. The mighty Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. Fan into flame. Fan into flame. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God will send the fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's praise him just a little more before we leave. Can leave when you're ready, but God is still working in hearts and lives here today. Until church sounds like this, amen, we do not have revival. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what the square footage of the building is. I don't care how big the choir is. I don't care how many people attend. I'm telling you, without the sound of victory, without the dancing, the shouting and the joy of victory, I'm telling you, God isn't sending revival. Everywhere revival comes, people praise him. Everywhere revival comes, people are singing. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Today we claim, send the fire today. Oh, we pray, Father. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire.
The fire.
To live a dying world to save. Send
fire.
Lord, we're here tonight and we're on your altar. Send your fire.
The Lord. Send your fire.
We give our lives. We give our lives to you today.
Jesus.
Send the fire. Send the fire.
Yes, Lord.
Send the fire.
Send it today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Let's join hands and pray today. I don't know what you're after. I don't know where you are spiritually. I know what I'm after. I'm after more of God, more of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to see families healed. I want to see people healed. I want to see people set free. I want to see revival in my generation. I'm tired of dead religion. I'm tired of dead preaching. I'm tired of dead singing. I'm tired of that stinks of death. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm tired of dead ritual. I'm tired of dead routine. I'm tired of dead praying. I'm tired of dead singing. I'm tired of feeding this death. When God has called us to life. It's during a praise service that God is going to show us His glory. Hallelujah. It's when we praise Him from the heart and ascribe unto Him the power that is His and His alone that we're going to see victory. Hallelujah. Some of you, your mourning is going to turn to dancing. Some of you are going to be singing instead of mourning. God is raining upon you today because these are the last days, the last outpourings before the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. The day of the great harvest is upon us. Brother, let it play. Let it play. It's from Africa as well. God is moving in the continents of the world. God is moving. And the last of the harvest is being brought in. Don't look at the deadness in the church in America and judge what God can do by it. In Kenya, God is pouring out His Spirit. By the way, I want to tell you something statistically. America used to be the center point for the gospel to the world and revival to the nations. But guess what? Africa is now getting known as the center point for true revival. Why? Because the American church has become materialistic, humanistic, living for self-indulgence, while nations that have come to Jesus want the kingdom of God more than they want life or breath. Can you say, man? Africa, the dark continent, is standing up now and proclaiming Jesus to the nations of the world. Glory to God. These are the days of Elijah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Jesus.
I am.
Oh, my Savior. Send that fire to our nation.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Yes.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
Thank you for coming. We're just praising Him a little more.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes riding from the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee.
Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to shake hands with somebody before you leave and say, there's no God like our God. Will you do that? God bless you today. Hallelujah. Call on Him in your valley.